And Miles joins me now. What is the latest on this feathering device that you talked about in that piece?
Well, the idea with the feathering device is that you should never deploy it going up, and you should always deploy it going down. So finding a safety system that answers both of those needs has been tricky. They've been tinkering with some ideas on how to go through some various failure scenarios and looking at ways to potentially unlock it maybe a little sooner. That might have been part of the test in this case. But in any case, when the rocket motor is firing, you don't want that thing to fold over on itself, which is the ideal reentry configuration.
You've been all over Twitter today saying don't jump too fast to the conclusion that the pilot was an error.
Yeah, I think there is a tendency in these cases to impugn deceased pilots. And in this case, we don't know that the pilot did anything wrong. He might have been responding to some sort of anomaly in the engine, which made him think we might have to go into feather mode. Or this might have been part of the test to unlock it and see what happens. We don't really know. This is all what test flying is all about, expanding the envelope, as they say.
Well, and what NTSB investigations are all about, ultimately. So between this and the accident on a launch pad in Wallops Island, Virginia, last week with another private space company, how much of a blow does this bring to the private space industry?
It's a 1-2 blow that the entire industry is reeling over. There are a lot of people who care deeply about the idea of making a real business of going to space. And these two incidents, disparate in every way, but yet in the realm of rocket science and commercialization of space, have just really taken the wind out of a lot of people's sails. I think it'll press on, it'll move on, but it's a setback.
Well, it raises questions about whether a government-sponsored space program is safer.
Well, you know, we had a government-sponsored space program. We lost 14 shuttle astronauts and 3 Apollo astronauts on the launch pad. Space is hard under any circumstance, and it's difficult to say how much of this really has to do with the fact that it's commercial and how much of it is government. The fact is, though, when you're trying to make a buck, it is very difficult to square that with complete safety.
And we're talking about space tourism here largely, not the payload that was going to the space station, but certainly in this case of the Virgin Galactic flight. Is it a thrill ride or is it science?
It's a thrill ride. I mean, let's face it. That's what this is all about. This is bragging rights for people who can spend $250,000 for about 5 minutes of weightlessness.
$250,000.
Yeah.
That's how much a ticket costs.
Yeah. So $250,000 for 5 minutes, that's $50,000 a minute, and that's bragging rights you went to space. Could this lead to technologies which might make it possible to fly from New York to Tokyo in a couple of hours? Yes. So it's worth doing on a technological standpoint, but we're at the Ford Tri-Motor days. We're not at the Boeing 777 days. And there will be more casualties along the way.
And we have Apple, Google, and Virgin all involved in this, but might investment now slow?
It could. I think it's going to have a chilling effect. But the people behind this are true visionaries. They really have drank the space Kool-Aid, if you will. And there's true enthusiasm for pursuing this. So I think it'll press on. But maybe it's a good idea to stop, take an unvarnished look at this, have the NTSB weigh in, and really give us an idea of what's going on behind the hangar doors.
Miles O'Brien, thank you as always.
You're welcome.